All right, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to roll right in. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for today. Thank you for this time. Yet again, we just want to thank you for the way that you've been moving us and shaping us, and that you give us this opportunity just to sit and pause and to seek you in our life and what you have in store for us. And we just are so grateful for the way that you've saved us and how you continue to pursue us. And we just thank you for that. We lift that unto your holy and glorious name. Amen. All right. I'm actually going to erase this because I've got the question several times this week. Well, I didn't want to erase that. Austin Haga, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. I've gotten a question all week from several people. Why is this class actually called YouTube and Tacos? Yes. That's really good. Why do you guys think it's called? We've been in here for 2 days. I've talked about a lot of different things. I want to call you Mr. Fiber because I'll always remember you as the guy who knows nutrition really well. Daniel, thank you.
So I think it's just because you've been talking a lot about things that
That's all right. Yes, Charles.
Because you've been handing out taco prizes and you show us a YouTube video every day.
Sure, yeah. You can go that. Yeah, back here.
It's about the things we consume.
Good, good. What else? Yeah.
About how YouTube and tacos are things we like, or some people like.
Yeah.
And how we consume them in our free time as our passions and stuff like
that. Yeah. Yeah, good. So we all have these natural desires for things, to fill these desires, we consume something to keep it at bay. And there's the natural thing that we think about. You're like, I'm hungry. That's a desire. I have a desire for food. So I eat something. That's just without thinking. That's almost like us breathing. You're hungry, you eat, that's what you do. But I want you to think in a larger concept of, I have this desire to fill my time with something. I don't want to be bored. I want to spend my time doing something that I like to do. So we spend a lot of time on YouTube. This is how I kill time. It's how you kill time. But we also try to fill in our time with other things, of which they're usually things we're passionate about. Whether for me it's running, for you it could be art, it could be dogs, it could be mowing the grass, I don't know. Whatever it is you're trying to fill your time with, but I want you to kind of narrow it down. So this is big picture how you fill your time when you're bored. This may be something you're actually really passionate about, you want to pursue for a lifetime, and that's okay. I lead a small group. A lot of those guys want to become YouTube stars. And so what does that mean to actually pursue that as a career? Pursuing your passion in that. So for you, whatever that is, I hope that you keep that in mind. But before we get too far, I want to do the YouTube clip of the day. This one's kind of gross. In my mind, it's kind of gross, but I love it. Almost.
Burritos?
It's like... before a taco shell becomes a taco, it's what?
Corn.
Is
there a corn? Oh. Does a raccoon come out?
This is gross.
Are we supposed to know something? Oh my god, just eat this whole thing.
Oh, that's
amazing.
That's it. Woo! That is not.
Have you seen the one with the watermelon?
Can you imagine being right next to him as he's doing that, and it's just shards of corn and spit just coming off? I'm sure the camera lens has just little shavings of corn that you get stuck in your teeth.
There
was
a second video of him flossing.
Yeah, it's just 4 hours of him flossing through each tooth.
Do you know they actually genetically changed corn so that popcorn
popcorn. There's the kind where the kernels get stuck in your teeth. They've genetically made it so there's popcorn that doesn't do that.
Really?
Yes.
That's part of the joy of popcorn, picking it out.
Well, they now, I forget what the word is.
I want to go back to yesterday real quick. This is a tough way to end because it kind of leaves you with like a lot of questions. But your passions only reach their fullest potential and original intent when they exist within the gospel. And you're like, what does that mean? Like, how do I do that? And today I want to actually work through that a little bit and give you some tools, like how do we get there in the first place? And we've talked about a lot about different types of passions and our faith interacting with that and the ways that they work with one another and how we pursue it and how we actually don't pursue it in the way that the Lord intended.
Why is there a question mark?
Right here. Yeah. This is a question from the previous one. So this is a question I thought of when we were talking yesterday about, you know, the Lord actually rejoices in us and we glorify Him in the way we pursue our passions if we have the gospel working within it.
So should it say, are you so good
at this? This is like, you're so good at what you do that it glorifies the God of the universe. This is kind of like me asking you all that question. It's just, yeah, no, that's okay. My brain, I wasn't the greatest student in the world in English. So we don't want to watch that again. This is, well, maybe we do, but this is a passage that kind of sums it up out of Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Don't worry about those things. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if this class has kind of stressed you out, if this class has stressed you out in the sense of like, I'm not sure what I'm passionate about. I'm not sure how to pursue my time well. I'm not sure where I'm at and how I use my passion to glorify the Lord or how I don't. I don't know where I'm at on those that list, that spectrum of passion, faith. And the Lord tells us, you know, don't be anxious about that. Like, what shall we eat? Don't be so worried about what you're going to be consumed. Because first and foremost, you need to seek the kingdom of God. You need to know the gospel. If that's where you're at, great. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the gospel. Understand the gospel. Get in your word. Get with your youth leader. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Start there. I didn't approach this class that way because I know that your leaders are doing that well with you on a day-to-day basis. But if that's where you're at, start there and just throw this class out. But if you're like, okay, I feel like I've got a grasp. I want to know what's next. I don't want to lose everything else about me. Then talk about how do I spend my time? Okay, I believe in the gospel. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Continually. Now, let me integrate that into the things that I love to do. So we're going to do another assessment. This one's more practical. This one's fairly easy, not super long. But on here, pass it back. On day one, we did our passions assessment. Where do you spend your time? Where would you like to spend your time if you're not content with the way you spend your time? I don't feel like I spend my time pursuing actually what I want to do or what I like to do. I just spend my time, and I don't know how I spend it. So I want you to actually day one, list what you thought of. Just put it down. It could be one thing, it could be two, it could be three, whatever it was. If you're not sure, just put them all there. And then day two, use of passions are on a spectrum. How do your passions and your faith interact? So think about yesterday, and I put them in three categories. Is your passion bad? This is like, I was not creative in my terminology here. Is your passion bad, ill pursued, or good? I call it the big assessment. So if it's bad, is it destructive? Like, these are definitions or good questions to ask yourself. I'm not sure if it's bad. Is it destructive to yourself or others? Is it hurtful towards you or others? Is it non-productive? Is it actually causing a break in relationship? Is it actually causing like harm to somebody else? Those are just bad passions, and we'll talk about what we do with that. If it's ill pursued, is it actually on here? Is what you do good in and of itself? Is it what God has intended for you? It's just you're pursuing it in one of these five ways. And if it's good, you feel like I've got a grasp of the gospel. I feel like I'm interacting and having my faith and passion coexist well with one another. That's under the good category. And I myself, it's like...
Depends on what day it is.
I know. That's exactly it. And we'll talk about that. It changes from day to day. And we're going to talk about what does it look like to shift from this spectrum down into that. And if you feel like you have something in the good category, how do you maintain that? What does it mean to maintain that? So you look on the back, and then you can just fill that out. So take a couple minutes, fill that out, take a little bit of time. I believe this is really important because once you write it down, it becomes a little bit more real. To just think about something, you can forget about it much easier. But if you write it down, you'll remember it a lot more, becomes a little more real. Yeah. Yes. Full. This could be like a daily assessment for you. Where am I at today? How do I feel like I spent my time today? How do I feel like I pursued my passion well within understanding the gospel? I want to spend our last little bit together, you know, kind of giving you some thoughts on, okay, I'm in category one or I'm in category two today or tomorrow or always. I've been in all five of these, and every, like, feels like every other day. So what does it mean to shift from one way to the other? One, if your passions fall under the bad category, like they're hurtful, they're harmful, they're just things we should not pursue. Like if you are hungry and you're looking to fill your belly with something,
and you get two things of Mike and Ike's.
I wouldn't even put that under the bad. I would say like if you fill your stomach with, I don't know, screws, gasoline, you know, it's like that is harmful, that is hurtful. That's not going to do anything. It's just going to really hurt yourself. Those are the things you don't want to do. Those are the things you should not be passionate about because in the end, that's not even going to be remotely close to filling your stomach. That consumption of something, the result is no way in God's intentions or creation. So you just keep it simple. You just eliminate those. You don't try to change them. You're like, okay, maybe if I glorify the Lord by eating all these screws, that'll be good. No, just don't eat screws. It's a bad idea. Two, if most of the time, a lot of us are in this I category. And we will be our entire lives because we're sinful. So one of the things I want to talk through is being helpful is shifting from the ill-pursued category into the good category, the way that, that God's intention for us to pursue our passions. So how do we shift our I passions to become a G passion? We're going to walk through all of these. This isn't super long. So how do you go from living in the passion of the world and go straight to coexisting faith and passion? I'm going to tell you right now, it's not, you know, flipping on a light switch and then all of a sudden you're going to do it. All of these are a process. All of these take time and persistence and just good practice. And I'll tell you also ways to help have accountability and maintain that on a daily basis. But how do you go? You're recognizing yourself in this category. If you're recognizing yourself in this category and you want to go there, what do you need to do? Understand the gospel. You need to start there. You just need to start there. You need to get in the Word. You need to find somebody that will help you understand the Word. You need somebody to disciple. You need a community to surround you and help teach you. What does it mean to believe in the gospel? What is the gospel? You need to start there. That one is very, very simple. If all of these categories, if you can't get to that point, that's where you need to start. Category one, you need to understand the gospel to move forward, to move towards living out coexisting faith and passion. All right, category two. I've been in this boat. Sometimes I still want to go to this place, you know. I just don't want to, like, I just want to love the Lord. I want to escape. I want to get rid of everything that is harmful in my life, and I just want to sit with the Lord and just be there. Faith without passion. And how do we go from there to coexisting faith and passion? We need to redefine our passions. We need to understand that our passions are glorifying to the Lord, and that they are a platform in how we glorify the Lord. They're a platform and our way of contributing to the kingdom. It is actually how we're bringing the Lord's name here on earth. It's not something that, it can be, but it's not supposed to be something that inhibits us from doing that. So redefine what you mean by passion. It doesn't have to be sinful. All right. I'm also here a lot. This way seems fun. This is one we flee from very quickly when we realize how exhausting it is. So we have our passion faith separated, and how do we go? How do we go from there? We eliminate the barrier. We just kind of, if you take away the barrier, it's going to get real messy real fast because one's going to give way to the other. And so if you're looking at this barrier right here and you just let these two worlds collide, you're either going to go back to category one where you're just living passion without faith, and then we need to start back at, okay, we need to understand the gospel, or faith is going to take over how you view passion, how the gospel will actually change what you're passionate about. So you just need to say, all right, I need to somehow bring these worlds together. So if I want to party and I want to love the Lord, let's see what happens when we put them in the same room. And party about the Lord. It's called the zone. No, that sounds terrible. Ugh. But think about that. Like, think what you feel like is the most sinful part of your life. And we all have them. I'm guilty of this. Think about putting that into like a tight room. Like, not even like a roomy room, a spacious room, like a tight room, and you say, all right, Jesus, come on in. And watching those two things interact, and guaranteed, Jesus will win every single time, because you're letting him into that. So I have to say, just take the barrier down and let the Lord do the work. And it's going to be painful, because you're going to see a lot of things that you love taken away from you. But the thing that we should love the most will overcome, and you'll have greater love than that. So eliminate that. Number four, once we get into this category, and once you get into like the four or five category, it's actually difficult to backtrack a little bit. It happens. But once you get into the four or five category, it's very difficult to backtrack. So when you have applied faith, when you're applying your faith to your passion, and you want to make the shift, you just need to change your foundation. Start there. Try to get to stage five on some level. Just say, okay, the way you think about, was this Darnold, where he said, he was a famous soccer player, saying like, this is my life, this is what I love to do, and I'm just going to incorporate my beliefs, I'm just going to incorporate the gospel when I feel like it's convenient. What would happen if he shifted that, said, okay, the gospel ministry is what I love to do, how can I incorporate soccer into that? So that will actually, so changing your foundation will actually just shift you to this one. So you're not quite there, but it's, I believe, is a step in the right direction. So now you're here. This is where I've seen a lot of great people and living out their passions and being faithful. And it's not bad. This is good. Like, it's definitely progress. It's definitely, we're getting there. We're definitely getting closer to the glorious body that the Lord wants for us. We're shifting from that lowly body to that glorious body. When we're living out faith as our foundation and applying our passion to it, but the Lord is saying, I'm not done with you with that. I want to incorporate these things. So, how do we do that? We just need to integrate. We don't just apply it. You know, you get it messy. Put them together. Allow them to interact with one another. It's almost like a couple married. How would these two things interact with one another if there's no barrier, if they were seen in a loving relationship with one another? It would be integrated. It would be, you, in some ways, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the two. You could say, that person loves the Lord because the way they play soccer. I can see that. And that's something I tell my athletes. I want, and we're Westminster Christian Academy. And a lot of carrying that title around, in some ways, a lot of people in that school, and I'm guilty of this, will change the name. It's either just Westminster or what everybody else calls it, Westminster. Or it's now becoming, or it has been, I'm just now hearing, the Academy. Sounds cool. I it does sound pretentious, but... But I actually like that because they're no longer have this name across their jersey or whatever they're wearing that represents sweatshirts, whatever it is. Because a lot of the people I've interacted, and I'm guilty of this as well, because you're wearing the name Christian, you feel like that's good enough. And I feel like we do that as people who grow up in the church, as people that we just assume our faith to ourselves. I'm a Christian, so I can just, that's good enough. I can kind of go about this however I want. And one thing I tell my athletes is say, I want the other teams to know that we are here on behalf of Christ by the way that we hold ourselves on the track. Not because we're up in the stands, you know, preaching the gospel, saying, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. But I want other teams to know who we represent, just by the way we hold ourselves, by the way we compete.
By the way we
lose. Or the way we lose. By the way we lose is huge, an amazing opportunity to show where your foundation is. What do you believe in? When that thing's taken away from you, the thing you've been trying to work at so hard, how are you holding yourself? Is your life over because you lost? Feels that way. I lost the state championship 3 out of 4 years in high school, one of which was definitely my fault. That's another story in and of itself. And we lost, well, this was like, it might be actually a good applicable story, but we lost by less than like 2 points, which in cross country is like, it's nothing. It's like passing, that's literally passing two people, anyone on your team, between all of you. We lost 3 out of the 4 years. We got second place a ton of times. And before I became a Christian, I felt like, I'm just going to give this up. This is just pointless. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm tired of losing. And all of us as a team, we'd be like throwing stuff and just super, super mad. And some coaches will encourage like, yeah, get mad so you come back passionate and run harder next time. Like, did you hear that? You come back passionate. They called that passion so that you run harder next time. That was ingrained in me as I went off and represented, you know, I went on to a Christian, I became a Christian in between my junior and senior year. I went on to a Christian college to run for them, and I heard that, be passionate, that type of passion for the Lord. Can you imagine, like, my mind just like, what's going on? Like, I'm supposed to be angry after after I just lost, like, a big competition, and that's going to glorify the Lord? I'm so confused.
It's called the Crusades.
It's called, yeah. It's really, really confusing. And it takes a lot of work. I've had to work on this for years. I'm still working on this. Like, I'm not done. The Lord's not done with me in this. I haven't perfected this. I'm not living this out greatly. If I'm in this category, if I'm category 5 every day, that's pretty good for me. Like, I'm not there a lot. I'm here sometimes. I'm here a little bit more. I'm less than that too often. And my hope is that we as a group, as a believers, we shift towards this. How are you living out the gospel in your passions? So yesterday, we took the passage out of Romans to kind of help us define what the gospel is. So you take that category. I should probably go back there if I can find it. Yeah. How are you living this out? And this is hard. It's like, well, how do I live anything like that out? How do I live that out? And what I love to do. And I don't have like a great answer. All I know is that I'm working towards it. And I know that I fall short of this. Recognizing that is really, really key. Like, I fall short of the Lord. I fall short of who I'm supposed to be. So realize you're gonna lose something, and you're not gonna react in a good way. But what's most important is the Lord still loves you. even in that. And that alone changes you. Realizing that, okay, I'm not always going to handle myself well as I'm consuming things. I'm still going to consume junk food. I consumed a lot of junk food last night. You ever had like these little, these guys thought it was gross. You guys ever had like those little wax bottles with little juice inside? I haven't had them in years. Found them in the grocery store. Just popped them all in my mouth. They're so good. I got some extras if you guys want some.
I'd like to try one.
See? I told you guys. Other people like them.
I'll take your word for it.
Other people like them.
You just like them because they're like childhood.
I'm scarred.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to like them. I don't think I like them anymore.
John, I'm kind of scarred by the mental image of, or my memory of you having like 10 empty wax bottles all crumpled up in your hand at the same time, covered in spit.
I also had like jalapeno Doritos, a Snickers ice cream bar, beef jerky. Like last night, I shouldn't be proud of this, but it's like, I was really hungry, and even the lady at the counter, we dropped $40. And this is legitimately what happened. We go up to the counter, and it's just like a slew of like gigantic Cokes. Susan. They were literally, if you think this is gigantic, it was like twice this size. A fountain drink. And then we just had like tons of candy and beef jerky and just whatever your heart desired just right in front of you. And we're like checking out. She goes, "That'll be $39.98 of all junk food." And I'm like, I was like, dang, don't judge me. I'm feeding some other people. There are like two other people that want some of this stuff. I'm really hungry. Was that the best choice I could have made?
Yes.
Yeah. You could have said.
Yes. Probably not. Was it the best choice for my body? Can I say that?
Did you run
yesterday? I ran quite a bit yesterday. We are like totally out of time. But I will close this. You will still come across these things, and you will still fall short. Even knowing this, and it's okay because the Lord still loves you, but it should be changing you to be working towards your glorious body that Christ has allowed you to strive towards. So, I really cannot wait to watch that video again. How do you maintain in that level? How do you maintain from good to good? You need to be intentional. You need to understand what you're passionate about. You need to practice with purpose. These are really practical things I want you to remember. Know your passions. Remember what you're passionate about. Don't just blow it off as something that's aside, but keep it integrated in your life and know that it has a purpose, and practice with purpose. Be intentional about how you pursue your time and maintain integrity. Your passion should be held up to the standard of the gospel. Should be. Again, we'll fall short. But the Lord has allowed us to strive towards that. And here's what's key. Accountability through the church and Scripture is going to help you do this. This is why we have church. This is why church is so important. Because we're all sinners gathering together, helping us live this out well. And Scripture is going to give us that accountability standard, saying, this is what the Lord wants for us. This is what the Lord told us. This is what we'll live up to. Keep these two things with you, and you'll do pretty good.